This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:06 a.m. Tuesday the 13th of April, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be talking about welfare department reforms with Dr. Norma Mansour, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre at University Malaya. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Yes, in the US, down. The Dow closed down 0.2%. S&P 500 closed down rather marginally, 0.02%. NASDAQ closed down 0.4%.
And over in Asia, it was a pretty red day, actually. Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 0.8%. Shanghai closed down 1.1%. Hong Kong was down 0.9%. Singapore's STI was down 0.3%. And the FBM KLCI closed down 0.2%.
So for more on global markets, this morning we're speaking with Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today. So U.S. earnings season kicks off this week. Will these quarter's results justify the equity risk premium that investors have been paying for stocks?
I think it will, but the key issue will be about guidance, and the key issue will be like cost, margin cost, raw material costs going up. So I think, you know, it kind of reclosed on Friday, all-time high, the NASDAQ down, the S&P. But like, this is going to be tough to justify higher equity prices going forward. So we're looking for more a choppy market. So earnings will come in strong, which it's already baked into the cake.
Financials will be the first to report. Joe, are you overall a bull or bear on this sector?
We're very, I would say, bullish, because we think we're early in the cycle of financials. There's a lot of M&A activity, a lot of trading volume, a lot of households with a lot of cash out there spending still. So I think it's early in the cycle. But, you know, let's face it, the financials have had a nice run up, so they're not cheap as they were a couple of, say, 6 months ago. But we still like financials cyclically over the next year or so.
Just to give us a sense, what results do you expect, and will dividend payments resume?
I think, you know, the banks, they've been a part of the solution to the financial crisis, and, you know, particularly the big banks, been there for, you know, help distribute the money from the federal government. The state and local finances are improving. So share buybacks, dividend, that's all going to be part of the story, I think, in Q1, Q2, and until later this year. When we start to raise corporate taxes, however, if that happens for 22, that story, that narrative shifts.
And meanwhile, the Euro Stoxx 50 is up 12% year-to-date, beating the S&P and the Dow Jones indices. Given lingering pessimism over EU recovery prospects, what's been driving their equity markets upwards?
Well, I mean, it's not Europe, that's for sure, right? I mean, not the fact that they whiffed on the vaccination, the recovery program hasn't come out. Europe benefits from global trade, pick up in demand in China and the U.S. So, yeah, the U.S., you know, all the spending the U.S. is doing, it's going to seep overseas into our imports. And if you look at the DAX and the CAC, the French and the big German blue chip indices, they're leveraged more to the U.S. than they are Germany or France, respectively. So China's doing its part driving growth, so is the United States, and the big exporters in Europe benefit.
Let's take a look at the dollar, Joe. Year to date, the U.S. dollar index is up a mere about 2-3% at this juncture. Can you see a clear trend for the dollar direction, or will it trade in this kind of range over the short term?
I think short term, there's dollar strength, there's a bid, but you know, there's something we haven't talked about in a long time: the twin deficits, the current account deficit, federal budget deficit in the United States, ready to go back to those historic highs that we saw in the 1980s, which was correlated with a weaker dollar. But the rest of the world has to get stronger before the dollar gets weaker. You know what I mean? It's kind of counterintuitive. And I expect the rest of the world to catch up with the U.S. The dollar, I think, gently kind of weakens here in the second half of this year. And the dollar's strong now because we're just growing faster. We've got we did 4.7 million shots over the weekend in one day. The rest of the world will get their act together, and that'll take some steam out of dollar strength.
Yeah, just speaking about the dollar strength and all that, I think one concern is inflation. So U.S. producer prices moved up more than expected in March. I think we saw this in China as well. What significance does this have on inflationary expectations, especially as economic recovery gains momentum?
I mean, it's a great question, because it's a $64,000 question, because year over year, month to month, you're going to see prices increase. But are they transitory? And that's the word we'll all be sick of, you know, very quickly. Or are they become more embedded? And I think it's towards more of the former, more transitory. We still got a lot of bottleneck shortages to work out. We're seeing some wage pressure, but we still have 8 million workers yet to be, you know, absorbed back in the labor market. So I think the inflation story is a headwind. I do think equities grind higher in the second half of this year. It's going to be a grind. It's nothing like we saw last year. And the inflation narrative is going to be watched very carefully.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us some insight into what we can expect out of the upcoming U.S. earnings season and, of course, some insight into the dollar. But speaking of currencies, we have had a report out of Bloomberg that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is not going to be naming China a currency manipulator. Now, the Treasury Department has not yet confirmed this, but sources told Bloomberg that Yellen's team is also discussing a tighter definition of whether an economy is manipulating its currency for competitive advantage.
She has hinted at changing the criteria back in January during her confirmation hearing, saying that bilateral trade deficits shouldn't be seen as a single catch-all metric. And this labeling is actually quite important because it does affect the relationship between US and China. And being labeled a currency manipulator comes with no immediate penalties, but it can rattle financial markets.
And the law requires the U.S. to engage with the countries to address the perceived imbalance. And if the designation applies after a year, penalties include exclusion from U.S. government contracts. Now, the U.S. currency report is due on Thursday, and it's worth watching whether Malaysia is included. 8 out of 10 countries included in the monitoring list in the December 2020 report were Asian countries, China, Japan, Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, Taiwan, Thailand, and India. And let's take a look at some other corporate news. Microsoft is buying an AI company called Nuance Communications for over $16 billion, a 23% premium over its Friday closing. This is the second largest acquisition under CEO Satya Nadella. The largest one was LinkedIn and for $26 billion. And Nadella has not been shy at deploying, at going for M&As during his tenure as Microsoft head honcho.
Now, Nuance is best known for its software, which uses deep learning to transcribe speech and improves accuracy over time by adapting to a user's voice. Now, Nuance has licensed its technology to Apple for Siri, although it's unclear to what degree Siri relies on this. And the acquisition would also bolster Microsoft's voice recognition capabilities.
Yeah, so Nuance has been doubling down on healthcare and enterprise AI. And I think, well, voice is really going to be the new goal, right? I look forward to the day where I can just sit in front of my computer and just tell my computer what to do, right? Open the email, send the email, you know, without even having to move my fingers.
But at that point, you've already got a virtual assistant. It's no longer really a computer.
So this deal is very interesting. I'm watching it for a few reasons. One, is this Microsoft's play into the healthcare sector, right? How are they going to do this? What are they going to do with this voice recognition? Because Nuance is heavily deals with the healthcare sector in terms of its servicing. And also, it signals that Microsoft is on this. We've heard a lot of deals, right? There was a theory that they were going to buy Pinterest, then Discord is now up. There's also this deal around Discord. Microsoft has been wanting to age down its demographic overall. It's been wanting to go into consumer as well, especially with the way it's pivoted Xbox as to a software as a service. And this has been the Nadella team, right? Change everything from a product to a software as a service offering, and also just buy whatever we can get. LinkedIn, Minecraft, all very interesting acquisitions, but have fit into this expanding umbrella that is Microsoft Corporation. It'll be interesting to see what other M&As happen this year, because debt is the rates are low, debt is cheap, money is cheap.
Interesting stuff. So interesting news out of Microsoft. But if we take a look at China's big tech as well, there's also been some news. Not so great, though, because Ant Group has been under some scrutiny from Chinese authorities. And now at these authorities' behest, it looks like it's going to be drastically revamping its business and will now transform itself into a financial holding company, be supervised more like a bank.
Yeah, so yesterday Baba shares jumped. So I think this fine that Baba is also incurring as a result of all these things that's happening within the group is only equivalent to 4% of its domestic sales, but it could have been worse. China's antitrust fines can go as high as 10% of annual sales.
This is important to note because it shows that that this has always been about the regulatory point of view, because China does not take very lightly to leverage and lending, right? And they decreased the liquidity in the market earlier this year, and while the optics around it didn't look good as to the timing at which the regulators went after Ant Group, this may be good regulations in the long term in terms of how to regulate this kind of fintechs and the kind of lending that they employ.
Certainly keeping a close watch on any developments there. But right now, we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, talking about welfare department reforms with Dr. Norma Mansour, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre at University of Malaya. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.